Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Welcome to Sodas and Steamers, the Project Zion series about ministry with children and youth. I'm your host today, Karen Peter, and our guest is Cassandra Unger. Now, I met you as Cass. Do you prefer Cass or Cassandra?
I really don't have any preference. Most people know me as Cass. The only times I use Cassandra is when answering the phone.
Oh,
I have no idea why, but for some reason in my brain, Cassandra is appropriate phone answering voice.
Oh my goodness. Emily Post would be proud, and you'll have to look up who that was. Okay. So Cass lives in Sydney, Australia, where she serves as a full-time minister for Community of Christ. She works in the Mission Center as the Mission Center Children's Minister. So welcome, welcome, Cass.
Thank you.
Now, we visited earlier, and you had done an extra shot a while back with Carla about spiritual practices, and so this is a return visit for you on Project Zion, and we're glad that you had a good experience the first time, and we're willing to come back again. So first, could you tell our Project Zion listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I think you actually covered most of the major points. I guess I originally trained in genetics before getting a grad dip in education and teaching high school science. So all of that I did before I started working for the Community of Christ. And I worked over across the other side of Australia for a couple of years before I returned back to Sydney, which is where I was born. And to continue working for the church. And first off, I was doing education and priesthood development stuff. And then just recently, we've had a shift to align with our strategic plan. And so I've been taking on the role of children ministries. So I think that's pretty much me.
So children's ministries is not something that a lot of people in Mission Center life have.
Yes.
They see youth minister, but they don't always see children's minister. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about what that role is and how it functions in your Mission Center?
It's, like I just mentioned, it is a new role for us to have. And I think we've had them in the past, but definitely had a break for a while. And it kind of just means that I've shifted my focus and energies towards those that are under 12 and providing ministry and resources for those that provide ministry to this kind of younger age group. It also means that I'm responsible for the child and youth protection training process and making sure that the Australian church is compliant with the state requirements and with the World Church requirements for child and youth protection.
Thanks for bringing that up, Cass, because we had Dave Davies from the legal department on Project Zion to do an episode on that, and I had not included it in our notes for our conversation. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, I guess it kind of very much goes hand in hand with children and youth ministries.
Yeah. So your Mission Center made a decision then to focus on children's ministry. Why? What's important? Tell us why they made that decision and why you feel children's ministry is important.
I guess from the Mission Center level, one of the reasons they made a shift that they wanted to focus resources towards those that are under 40 as part of the strategic plan for 2018 to 2022. That's part of the Australian strategic plan. And I guess that came out of a recognition of upholding those age groups and supporting them and promoting them, because truthfully in Australia, those numbers are quite limited in the current church. For me, most simply, the reason why children's ministries is important is because I think everyone kind of needs to hear that they're loved and that they're valued just as they are. And so for me, I see the world as a hard place, and most people are just kind of trying to figure out where they fit and where they belong. And I think children and youth kind of have a little bit worse in that they can't, they have no frame of reference yet of who they are, and don't yet realize that they don't need to fit into every aspect of their life because there's so many different areas. And so I feel it's important that kids get places where they're accepted as who they are. And I think it's really important for kids to have other adults in their life other than their parents that tell them that they're worthy of being loved and that they're awesome. Because parents, it's kind of their job, and kids don't believe them when they tell them. So for me, that's all part of why it's important. I think Community of Christ has really superb theology for everyone, but especially for children, when it upholds the enduring principles of the blessings of community and unity and diversity, and showing them spaces where they can be different and still be accepted. So when you look at those enduring principles, as well as the things of the worth of all persons, having children's ministry makes sense. Catering for the smallest in our group. There's a scripture that Grant McMurray put forward 20 years ago that talks about not neglecting the smallest amongst you, and recognizing that even these little people bring giftedness and energy, and we can learn from that. And so I just think that the Community of Christ has so much to offer everyone, but it has really got a place in children's lives to give them a different perspective.
So was there a children's minister that did that for you, that impacted your life and made you feel not just welcome, but valued in community?
I don't particularly remember any children's ministers when I was a child. I guess I was very fortunate that we had quite a lot of children or a healthy cohort when I went through. And what I do remember is a lot of their parents taking an interest in me, taking an interest in all of us, rather than just being concerned for their child's well-being. But taking, I guess, responsibility for getting to know each of us and making us feel welcomed and accepted in that space. And so whilst there aren't many, there's no one that stands out as being responsible for all of it, but I do remember those parents taking an interest in us. I remember a lot of the staff that was still at my kids' camps. I can't remember any of the activities, but I just remember those people year after year coming. And even now when I see them, I remember them as my camp staff, as a kids' camp. And so those people have definitely made an impact on me and that journey. I think for me, it's much easier to remember some of my youth ministers simply because it wasn't quite as long ago. I guess I was still struggling more with my sense of identity, and they really helped to shape that process.
I appreciate you bringing that up. It also, I think, youth ministers, we form relationship with them at a different point in our development, right?
Most definitely.
Yeah, than children's ministers. So what are some of the children's ministries? You mentioned that you offer some children's ministries, but you also have resources for other children's ministers, and then it's broader from there. So what are some of the kinds of things for which you're responsible or that are a part of the Mission Center that other people are responsible for, but you help resource?
Yeah. So there are a couple of things that I run. I'm on the ground with the kids doing it. And then there are other things that, fortunately, other congregations that are a fair geographical distance from me have children, but that get anxious about providing those resources or having the time to come up with activities. And so I prep for their activities, that way they can run them. And so I guess if I start at the littlest, each week I run a Tunes for Tots, which is a music play group for preschoolers. And so we sing and read stories and play musical instruments and do parachute songs and wave scarves. And then we break for morning tea and some free play for those kids. And the parents get an opportunity to chat and drink some coffee and socialize. And so I've been doing that probably for about 2.5 years now. And whilst it's fun and entertaining and social for the kids, I think what we've really learned from that ministry is it's actually much more about the parents or the caregivers, because we have a couple of grandparents that bring their grandkids along. And it's about kind of providing them with a safe, non-judgmental space for them to socialize, for them to complain about the lack of sleep, for them to figure out and navigate the parenting process. I think there's a lot of different sources that can provide information on how to parent. And very few of those just go, you're doing a great job, you know your kids and you can figure it out. And I think that's kind of our role, as well as going, this is what works for me. I don't know if it'll work for you, but if you're looking for an option, you can give it a try and I can help you with that. And so we've been running that at my local congregation at West Pennant Hills for about 2.5 years, but I've also packaged up all of its content and its registration forms and all of that side of it. And there is a sister congregation that we work with in Bendigo, which is probably about an 8-hour drive away from where we are, and they run it too. So they have been going for a little over a year, and so they use the exact same material, and I just kind of keep a bit of statistics on the two of them, just so that way we can evaluate it as a program. This is, I think, one of the few programs that I have been in the full conception process of, and I really enjoy statistics and being able to work some of that information and understand how many people it's reached and how it helps and why people have stopped coming and how maternity leave factors into that and some of that sort of stuff, which has been also great to be able to report on, so we can understand it in a holistic activity. So that's kind of that's the program that I run for the smallest of peoples. And then otherwise, other stuff where I'm on the ground is in Australia, we run a children's camp, a major children's camp each year. And we used to do that in two different sites. However, in the state of New South Wales, our numbers have gotten so low that we can't do that at the moment. And so last year I ran a holiday program kind of instead, so for a couple of days. And so that camp or that holiday program is kind of opportunity to connect with the primary school age group and to spend some time with them and developing safe communities. To teach them a little bit about peace is what our focus was last time. And so that's kind of a component in organising and running and developing those down to going shopping for the catering components. And then I'm also normally a part of reunions, often running the children's classes, in those. So that's kind of the extent of the stuff that I physically do on the ground. And then a lot of the remainder of the time is creating resources to support others that are providing ministry. So when I first took over this role, I contacted a lot of the congregations that were fortunate to have children in their midst. And so what kind of came out of that was that many of them were happy to do children's ministries. However, the thought of prepping and planning and developing resources gave them a fair amount of anxiety, or it made it difficult for them to find somebody else to fill in if they were going away. Mm-hmm. They weren't able to do it. And so coming up with resources that align theologically with the community of Christ, as well as recognize that Australian context, and that sometimes we like to distance ourselves a little bit from the US just to recognize our own roots and to reflect that in the teachings and context that we have.
So I've been in your office, Cass, and I have seen piles of things, and I asked what some of them were, and you said, well, this is for this activity, and I have this pile for this activity, and I'm working on this over here, and it was just this wonderful array of things you were in the middle of.
Yes.
At that point.
My office is a very crazy space that is often not very neat at all. However, I know exactly where everything is, but it does have lots of leftovers from different activities or bits and pieces. It's kind of like, okay, what can I do with some chalk? I've got some chalk here, what can we do? Or it's interesting to see when we then have children that come into the office for whatever reason, they kind of beeline for my office because they know that there's fun activities, and whether that's just building little forts out of cups. I have probably 200 plastic cups that they can build a tower that's taller than themselves, or stamps and stickers and all sorts of bits and pieces. So it's very interesting to see how quickly the kids have kind of found the corner of my room and the creativity that they can come up with, which works well because then I'm like, okay, let's put that into a resource.
Mm-hmm.
They've been able to go, oh, we have some wool. From wool, we can make this. Let's put that into a resource. So, that's definitely one of those aspects that I have in there. So
you have the little kids, the primary kids.
Yeah.
And then you participate, I'm assuming, with the up to 12 level at reunions and that kind of thing. I'm intrigued by the helping resource the other congregations that have kids, because I've heard that from congregations too, where they're not sure what to use, what would be appropriately aligned with Community of Christ, and where to find those things. So that's a terrific way to not just have those resources, but to make them appropriate for your Australian context.
Yeah. And one of those resources that I'm making at the moment is kind of a monthly class. And it can either, the way I've designed it is it can either be a kids class and it's actually connected to the lectionary themes. And so you can use it as a kids class that kind of partners with those lectionary themes, but you can also pull elements out of it. So each one is kind of made up of multiple elements and you can easily pull one of those elements out and use it in a traditional worship. If that's kind of the aspect that your congregation has, and therefore everybody can watch a video and answer some questions, or everybody can do a little activity or a game in that component that still aligns with the lectionary material. And that way it's making it more intergenerational. I don't sit well. And so a lot of that kind of takes that into consideration that kids don't sit well. And so therefore, having activities and options that can either be done separately or collectively. If you've only got one kid, sometimes it's easier to do that as a whole group. And for everyone to learn from that is, I find, really beneficial.
Yes, that is one of the things that we have to work with, is the challenge of having one child or having two children, but at disparate ages.
Yeah.
And so I agree that getting the whole group to participate in it is way more fun when you do it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. In Australia, we have such a huge geographical area as well. And so I've had to kind of take that into consideration and make sure a lot of the stuff has options for one or two kids. If a parent's doing it at home, they can do an option with one or two kids. Or if they are lucky enough to have children in a congregation, then they can do it with a bit of a larger group. But taking that into consideration of ways to reach those that are geographically isolated in that space. And so just this week, I've put together a Kids Herald. So I guess Australia has the Australian Herald, which takes after the US version, but we've modified it with some Australian content. And so this is a one-page one page kind of sheet to help develop community amongst the kids that live around Australia that gets posted to them in the letterbox, because who doesn't love mail? And that way they can receive it directly. And it's got like a little recipe and a bio and a little game or something in it. But this is the first one I've just sent out. And so I'm looking forward to receiving some of the feedback in relation to that, and how, if it helps kids that aren't connected to feel a little more connected and recognize that they're not forgotten.
Well, it contributes to that worth of all persons, doesn't it? That someone loves them outside of mom and dad that have to, right?
Yeah. Somebody else cares. And I guess particularly in this time of coronavirus, it's good to be able to get something in the letterbox and have things to do.
So you brought up something that we didn't touch on that might be helpful for our listeners to know. We have listeners from around the world, but we have a large proportion of our listeners are from the United States. And sometimes people in the U.S. forget just how big Australia is. Mm-hmm. And so when we say mission center in the U.S., we might be talking about several states that band together. But the Australia Mission Center is a continent.
Yes.
Is it not?
Yes. Yes, the Australian Mission Centre is the whole continent, which is really not a lot smaller than the US. Whilst it looks tiny on a map, it really is very geographically large. In fact, to get from where I am on one coast to the congregation on the other coast is about a 3.5-hour plane ride. So their nearest congregation is an hour and a half plane ride from where they are. And so there's one congregation over in Perth. So for them to feel isolated is very easy.
Definitely. So listeners, no more complaining about the 40 minutes that you have to drive to get to church or to a mission center event. Yes. So you have a wide variety of activities that you're engaged in with children, and I really want to have a conversation with you later about your resource production, because some of these ideas are wonderful and we could borrow.
Yes, most definitely. They can all be found on the Australian Community of Christ website under Kids Ministries. So if you're looking for them, they are there.
Good to know. So our listeners, go on the Australia. At the end of it, I think I put down what that is so that people can even find that for sure. Definitely. So with all that you've been doing and the different programs and keeping those statistics and analyzing as a good scientist would.
Yep.
What impact do you hope to have on the lives of the children that you meet in ministry? So maybe another way to say that would be, when they are your age, looking back at being a child in Community of Christ, what do you hope they remember?
Okay, I'm going to use a little story to help explain this one. So when I was teaching, I was working in an all-boys school. And we did an activity, I think it was like once a week, that was trying to develop some sort of social consciousness. And so one of these weeks, we were looking at community and the intergenerational nature of it. And one of the questions that we asked the group of teenage boys was, looking at the different generations in their life, who did they have outside of their immediate family? So who did they know that were the same age as their parents or their grandparents that provided them support that they could go to if they needed help? And I was really astounded to discover that in my group of 30 boys, most of them didn't have anyone. Most of them couldn't think of other adults in their lives, or even kids, if they went the other direction, that they had much to do with. And so I kind of probed a little more, and I was like, what about like sporting coaches or other like friends of your parents, or some, trying to like get them to think, because I was working with teenagers, boys, and they're not always so forthcoming with their answers. And the most that any of them could come up with was there was a couple that had older siblings that they could possibly go to their older siblings' friends if they had an emergency, like needing somebody to buy them alcohol, but not an actual legitimate emergency. And that really concerned me that there was so many people, or at least in this group, there were so many that had no support, adult support, outside of their immediate family. And so I guess coming back to the question at hand, for me, I guess that I hope the impact of children's ministries, not necessarily my involvement, but overall children's ministries, is that those children can recognize adults in their lives, recognize others in their lives that care about them, and that love them, and that can help them if they need it, and that they have a good enough relationship that they can go to them for support. And if they learn about God and the church in that process, that's fine, but I hope that they kind of just come away with an acceptance of who they are and a willingness to help others to find who they are.
Yeah, especially in this day and age.
Yeah.
Where that's more and more difficult for young people. I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing that story. So some of our listeners may be in the same situation as some of your congregations there in Australia, yeah, with few children or perhaps none, that they would hope to be prepared. So are there some best practices or maybe key learnings? We use those terms. We float them around the church when we're sharing ideas. Things that you could share from your experience that might be just helpful little nuggets of advice or practices for other people as they look towards developing children's ministries where they are.
I come back to that child and youth protection process, making sure the necessity of it. We make sure that we have a minimum of 2 registered child and youth workers at every activity that involves kids, whether they're looking after the children or whether their own parents are there, still making sure that we have 2 registered child and youth workers is definitely best practice, and kind of a great thing to establish as a foundation that unless we have that, we're not running a children's activity, which can be hard. But yeah, having that in place. I guess the other thing working with kids is remaining flexible. Often the most fantastic activities that I can come up with that I think are going to be great, they're bored within 3 minutes. Whereas there's something that I'm like, oh, this is a little dull, and they're happy doing it for 25 minutes. So you really, with kids, you really need to be flexible. You don't know what they're going to like, what they're not going to like. So mix it up kind of is where I would go. Change what's happening really often. Try and tap into things that they might already be interested in. And then recognizing that all kids learn in different ways. And so trying to cater for a variety. Kids are also really good at trying things that are new. So if you sound excited by something, they will give it a try, because that's kind of their nature, is just to give everything an option. Otherwise, it's kind of just about developing relationships, genuinely caring, genuinely listening, understanding that the problems in their lives are big to them. And so whilst it might not seem big to an adult, understanding where they're coming from and listening to it helps to develop that rapport. And that's really, really important with children's ministries and getting them to be involved and to trust.
As with any ministry, the relationships,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So as you and I are visiting today, we are both in our homes not so much by choice, but because the world is responding to the coronavirus, the COVID-19. And so both in the US and Australia, we have been advised to please stay home. And many folks who are listening to us are home with their children. Mm-hmm. So what are some ideas for parents who may have run out of ideas for kids, but that would offer children's ministry at home that they could do at home that's more than just taking up time, mm-hmm. but that really is formative for kids in their identity as beloved children of God?
I really love picture books. So kids' stories are fantastic. I guess a lot of children's authors recognize that the big issues in life and have great ways of breaking them down. And so reading stories with kids and discussing them, discussing those major themes and pulling them apart, a lot of children's stories kind of, when you break them down, are about the essences of how to be a decent human being and how to interact with other people and how to deal with conflict. And so I guess one of the things that I would really recommend is reading stories with kids and then discussing them rather than it just being a story to pass the time. What are the themes? How do we relate those in our own lives? When have you been faced with these similar sort of frustrations or conflicts in that process? And so there's definitely some authors that I love of children's authors. Julia Donaldson is a English writer that is phenomenal. She's best known for her work with The Gruffalo, but so many of her other stories, like The Snail and the Whale, The Smartest Giant in Town, The Squash and the Squeeze, they have a phenomenal rhyme to them. But they also talk about generosity and gratitude and making, like, never being too small to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so there's always phenomenal books out there that you can really have a discussion with a kid about overcoming fears or what it's like to immigrate into a country where you don't speak a language. I think stories have the ability to open our minds to different people's perspectives, which is always a good thing. It helps us to understand where other people are coming from. So I think that's one of the easiest ways.
What you're describing sounds like a kid's book club almost. It's like we would do with adults in a book club.
Yeah, potentially. And
you could actually do online with several parents and kids or grandparents and kids and someone read the story and have a discussion. And snacks, of course.
I say it's definitely got potential. I think of late, I guess, with us all stuck in our homes at the moment, I've been creating some, that's a lie, I haven't been creating, I've developed concepts and I've outsourced the actual creativity to one of the youth that I have a lot to do with, of what we're calling community cards. So it's an opportunity for them to print it off, to colour it in, and they've got like little missing you messages, and then to go deliver those into their neighbors' letterboxes when they are allowed out for an isolated mm-hmm. walk around the neighborhood to kind of remind the kids and to focus them on others outside of this space and recognizing that there are others that are struggling with social isolation, and that's not just during these times, but outside of mandated social isolation, there's still those that feel disconnected. And so helping them to contribute to their larger community is one of those activities that we have at the moment.
So I've been wanting to actually ask you this. I wanted to ask you it earlier, but you've been a child, mm-hmm. and so you have participated in children's ministry, and you talked a bit about that you remember the parents growing up, but But now you're what we would call a practitioner of children's mm-hmm. ministry. So how has this shaped, informed you as a disciple?
I guess as a child, children's ministry is what kept me engaged in the church. It was people's intentional ministry to me as a child that caused me to stick around long enough to develop my own discipleship and to seek God. And so it gave me a community to learn from and to struggle with. And so I think, to me, that's what children's ministry gave. As a practitioner, for the longest time, I didn't want to be involved in children's ministries. But children come very easily to me, and I recognize that that's not the case with everyone. In fact, there's a member in my local congregation that calls me the Pied Piper. And so, whereas I see myself more as a mama duck, whereas there's been a couple of times where I remember being at a working bee and turning around and behind me was the 8-year-old and behind her was the 4-year-old and behind her was the 2-year-old. And we just kind of toddle around our church grounds doing what needed to happen. And so I guess for me, I need to remember that children are full of excitement and energy about everything, and they get that excited about learning about God and Jesus and experiencing communities of joy, hope, love, and peace. And so it helps me to remember that those things, learning about God, experiencing community, doesn't have to always be reverent. It doesn't have to always be serious. And it doesn't have to be boring. Like, you can engage in those in so many different ways and in so many different experiences. And I think how children's ministries has shaped me is recognizing that even adults learn and experience in so many amazing and creative ways. And that is just so much more evident in children because they haven't had social pressure squish them yet into a box. And so they can be, you can tell when they're excited to learn something and when they're excited to be engaged in something. And you get to see the little light bulbs go on when they finally fully understand a concept or begin to understand a concept. And I think for me, that's very much shaped now the way I try to do ministry for everyone. I write a couple of the World Church worships. Each year they give me a couple, and I find it really interesting when I talk to other Australians that plan worships, because they're like, oh, did you do this one? And I'm like, why? They're like, oh, it just had a very like you outside flavor. We were doing something that was a little bit different, and they're like, you can see how it would be more engaging for children, and that those aspects that. And that's just now become influenced in all of the ministry I do. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely kind of a to and fro process with children's ministries, because I do still have to give ministry or get to. It's not a have to. I still get to give ministry to adults. Australian Mission Centre is not large enough that I can really focus just on a small band. It's just that it's part of my.
So I want to thank you for taking time to visit with us today. And I just needed to ask before we close, do you have any last thoughts or something that you meant to share earlier and didn't?
Not really. I guess I have minimum requirements that a congregation should have to show children that they care about. And number one of those is having as many people as possible be registered child and youth workers. Even if they have nothing to do with ministry to children, it just says we care enough about you to have bothered doing this training to make sure that we have a safe space. It just says a lot about the importance of children's ministries and that you think it's valuable. Another minimum that I have for a congregation is that they know the names of the kids. Like if there is a kid that semi-regularly attends your congregation, and I'm talking 4 times a year, you should know them by name. Even if there's 40 kids, you should know most of them by name, because it just says that they as an individual matter enough for you to have learnt their name. If you know other stuff about them as well, that's huge. But to be able to go, good morning, Sarah, and know them by name is important to a kid. It's important to their parents and the community that they belong to. And I guess my third point would be accepting that kids are loud. Like, they're really loud. And if you want kids involved on a Sunday morning, particularly in a traditional context, it's important for the adults to remember that kids are going to be noisy. They get excited and they forget where they are. And you can't help them to feel welcome at church if they're being constantly met with judgmental glances and shushes. So it's really important that the adults remember that church is loud, that kids are loud. And when church and kids are loud together, then they can start to feel safe and welcome in that space.
Those are great criteria for congregations, Cass. I made a note of them to include in the future: the youth protection for safety, knowing people's name is an act of hospitality and connection. And yes, kids are loud. And they will be disruptive. And I have been into many congregations with no kids. I'd much rather have the disruption. Well, for our listeners, if you have a question for Cass, or if you'd like to reach out to her, you can do so through the Australia Mission Center website, which you can find at seaofchrist.com.au. Those are lowercase. When you are on the website, if you scroll all the way to the bottom and click contact, you will find Cass Unger in the staff listings. And as she said, the resources are on the Australia Mission Center website under Children's Ministry. So thank you, not just for being with us today, but for the good ideas and the sharing of your print ideas that others might use as well.
No problems.
So this has been an episode of Sodas and Steamers, where we talk about children's ministry. Today we've been with Cass Unger from Sydney, Australia. I'm Karen Peter. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use. And while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.